Good morning, everybody. I'm Larry Weissoon. If you enjoy real-world hunting and fishing talk, you're really going to enjoy listening to my good friend, Luke Clayton, and his guest for the next hour.
This is Dustin Vaughn Warnke, producer of this fine show that's been airing for the past 20 years. Welcome to Outdoors with Luke Clayton and Friends. Luke has been a recognized outdoor writer for the past four decades and writes for a whole host of outdoor publications. Luke pens a weekly outdoors column that appears in over 50 Texas newspapers, and he's lived the outdoor lifestyle since childhood. Luke partners with such companies as Pyramid Air, the ultimate source for air guns and outdoor essentials, CVA muzzleloaders, and their fine line of CVA Cascade centerfire rifles, Smokin' Tex electric smokers, ATN thermal scopes and binoculars, the Choctaw Hunting Lodge in southeast Oklahoma, owned by the Choctaw Nation, Butcher Packer Supply, everything for the home, butcher, and sausage maker, the Dallas Safari Club at biggame.org, and the Saskatchewan Department of Tourism. Now, here's Luke to kick things off with his longtime friend, Larry Weissoon.
Well, howdy, my friends. It is your old buddy, Luke Clayton, and our friend, Larry Weissoon. We're here to kick off this week's Catfish Radio, and we've got a plethora of fun stuff to talk about, don't we, Larry?
Look, you know, we actually do, and I'll have to tell you, I'm sitting here around my own campfire this morning, wishing I was at the campfire next to you, but I've got a cup of Garg coffee from yes. BobbysBetterLife.com, and, you know, life is really good. We've had a lot of things going on. Of course, been very much involved recently again with Dallas Safari Club, with conservation education, hunter advocacy, and getting ready to think about, seriously, about hunting season coming up before too very long. So I've been sighting in some rifles and my handguns, my Taurus handguns with Hornady ammo, which is accurate, deadly, and certainly dependable. And, of course, with those rifles, I've got stealth vision scopes on those. And my handguns, I've got a couple of those handguns that I've got some of those stealth vision red dot sights on. So I'm kind of getting ready, but, you know, there's a lot of things going on. And of course, I am just back from an absolutely fantastic trip with Jim Zumbo. Jim, I can't imagine anybody not having ever been in the outdoors that doesn't know who Zumbo is, but Jim's a dear friend of probably about, oh my gosh, almost 40 years. And he and Rick Lambert. Now, a lot of folks, Rick is an interesting individual. You know, he was a farmer detective with the Dallas Police Force. He was also an undercover agent with them for a while, but, you know, I guess his true claim to fame is he's a songwriter that's written a bunch of songs with his daughter, Miranda Lambert. So we were down at the Lower Coast. The three of us call ourselves the Three Amigos. I think that's something that Zumbo started.
And yeah.
Had just an absolutely great time down there fishing, primarily for the red snapper offshore, and then we spent some time fishing for sheep's head, and then also spent a little time fishing for trout, but eating good, telling lots of different stories with Tom and Mike Snyder and Mike's wife, Mary Beth, who really kind of, among other things, they do Trinity Oaks, which is mm-hmm. a fabulous organization that, you know, takes care of wounded warriors and gets them in the outdoors and their families and terminally ill kids and also just youth in general. So talk about an absolutely fantastic adventure down there. And it'll be some good eating because we brought back a pile of fish.
Ooh, I saw those sheep's head that you caught there off the dock or whatever there. That's one of my favorite fish to catch. They're a little tricky. I'm not real good at cleaning them and filleting them. I can do it. But I've got a buddy, Trey Schmidt, that is a commercial flounder guy. He's down in Galveston, and he taught me how to fillet them. They're a little tricky to fillet, but man, I think that's one underutilized fish is a sheep's head. They fight that one you caught. You sent me the picture. How long was that thing? It was a big one. I mean, for sheep's head,
you know, it really was. I think the limit is five, and the biggest one I caught was a little over 22 inches long.
Oh, man.
And I mean, just an absolute, and you talk about fighting We were catching those really on live shrimp.
Yeah.
I know they primarily eat barnacles, but Mike and Mary Beth have a cabin that sits out in the bay there outside of a little way out of Port Mansfield down the very lower tip of Texas. And they've got they're refurbishing that cabin that they bought. And there's a limited number of dock space that they can have based on federal regulations and all that kind of stuff right next to the intercoastal waterway. And gosh, I tell you what, we caught our limit of sheep's head, and most of them were the biggest one was that one I caught, but all the rest of them were about 18 to about 19, 20 inches. So, oh my God, oh my goodness. So I can't wait to go back and do that some other time, especially down there with those people.
You know, many times we've rented a canal house down at Jamaica Beach out of Galveston, and it's right on the canal, and there's in the fall, I don't know if there's a migration on sheep's head. I really don't know, but I know they are there in numbers, and you can just walk out the door of your house you got rented there and just fish right off the – all those houses have little docks there.
Right.
But I've never caught I've speared, which used to be legal. My flounder buddy used to spear them too, you know. That was legal years back, a few years ago, and we would spear those things, but I've never owned a rod and reel. I've never hooked one near that big. Most of them are probably that I've caught, 15, 16, maybe 18 inches long, but man, they're a wide fish, and I can imagine catching one over 20 inches on a rod and reel.
Oh man, yeah. We were using fairly light spinning rods. Excuse me, and I mean, you talk about putting up a fight. Of course, you had to be really careful because as soon as you caught them, they headed for the pilings below the little dock area there, and you had to be had to horse them out of those areas to try to keep them because those things are covered with barnacles, those pilings, they'll cut a line pretty quickly. And we lost a few of them as well too. And I think we had one other fish on that I had on very early that was probably as big, if not bigger, than the one that I caught. But
that's fun. Yes, sir. How about just out of curiosity, gaff top? Did you catch any gaff top catfish?
We did not catch any gaff top. I like catching those. I did not catch any hard heads. But
yeah. Well, that's good.
Caught hard heads the gaff top's kind of an interesting catfish, and hopefully here I'll be back down there along the coast. Probably in about another few days here. Actually, to think of it, and we'll fish a little bit for that. Look, one of the things we need to visit about is, you know, we've got this DSC September 17th coming up, where you and I are going to tell stories, kind of sitting around a campfire, but there at the DSC office. And I'm going to prepare a bunch of buffalo burgers from that Mr. Steve Hornady graciously donated from a hunt that he did up on our good friends up there on the Choctaw. And you're in the process, if I'm not mistaken, of procuring some wild pork for some pulled pork that we're going to have as well, too.
That's true. I like that term, procure. That's right. I'm on a wild a wild pork procurement program. I broke out the aluminum trap. It weighs 54 pounds. I've had it for 30 years. Company out of Florida shipped that thing to me. They sold them back in the day. But the last time you saw that trap, Larry, you and I and Jeff Rice on the Buck and Bass Ranch trapped four pigs in it, and the pigs were just the right size. You know, a hog's head is shaped like a V, and they had just enough room to stick their head through those vertical aluminum bars. And that is, we filmed that. And we were all set up. We were going to have a big pig barbecue, whatever. And you know me, I had the wood ready. I was ready to go. Got in there, and it was a nightmare, really, because all those pigs were plenty healthy. No wildlife was damaged in this deal.
No.
But they had trapped. They stuck their head through those bars, and there was four of them locked in that trap. And the you and I and Jeff trying to figure out how to get them out. And folks, I'll tell you what really happened. So we're scratching our heads. Well, let's see. Let me grab them by putting my gloves on and grab them by the snout. They're not going to bite me. And see if I can push them back through there. Well, that didn't work. You know, the heads were like V-shaped. And so, you know, we all come up with ideas. None of them worked. Larry, I think we had a hammer in the back of the buggy there, and Larry said, wait just a minute, just like a light came on. And Larry walked over to that buggy and grabbed that hammer, and I said, oh, brainchild here, you know. whacked one of the bars, that hog jerked his head out of there, and we forgot totally about pork. We forgot all about skinning and cleaning and barbecuing. That hog hit the woods, boy, he was gone in a flash. And then nobody even thought about it. I forgot all about cooking them. And you whacked another bar, and bam, here come another one out. And it was pretty simple. All they needed was a quarter of an inch of head space, you know, literally. And we didn't eat one of them, but I've watched that video 1,000 times. That is the funniest thing. But anyway, that trap I have set in the woods by my house. I put a camera on it. I've got about, 15 or 20, two different sounders coming every evening. And I hate to say it, they're all just the size of those hogs that we trap, the pigs are. So I've got, when I go run, I haven't said it yet. I'm waiting. I could trap them any night, I'm quite sure. But right. I'm haven't got pumped up to get the ice and get everything ready for the next morning just yet. But I will bring a hammer when I run that trap, Larry, I promise you. Larry, it's about time for us to shut our campfire talk down. But I want to do that. Let's have a little fishing talk and whatnot, and then you come back here. Don't go anywhere. Come back, we're not through talking. We've got more fun stuff to talk about. Come back at the end of the show. How about that?
I'd love to, Luke.
Okay, good deal. I do want to mention, folks, if you own a pond, Arkansas Pond Stockers. It's a company that's been in business 30 years. They're the ones that come by the feed store. They let, you know, put up posters, and we're going to come through. ArkansasPondStockers.com. If you got a pond that you want to put some fingerling, bass, catfish, whatever, check them out. Now, we're going to take a little break, talk a little fishing and whatnot, and we will be back with Larry at the end of the show. Well, friends, Mr. Larry Wysoon is going to tell you about the finest hunting optics that we have ever found.
Look, these are called Stealth Vision. They come from Crockett, Texas. Dr. John McCall developed them. They're 34-millimeter tubes as opposed to the narrower tubes, so more light transmission. They have a little green light that comes on. That scope is leveled because that's when you want to pull the trigger. They have an optional lighted reticle as well, too, and a whole lot of other products. And folks can learn more about them by going to stealthvision.com.